to live. I just began to live when God's amazing grace came in. I just began to live. All things have passed away. I'll have a brighter day. My name's recorded up above. I just began to live.
We're kind of jumping around. I know we sort of talked a little bit about, you know, a series coming up, and probably in the next few weeks we'll get some leadership there, just waiting on God to show us what to do and where to go. So until then, we're going to jump around a little bit and hit some different thoughts. Today, I thought about weakness. We all got them, don't we? Everybody has a weakness. Some of us have many weaknesses. We have areas in our life that we're just not that strong. And I don't know if most of you knew this or not, but I'm back in school again, taking some counseling courses and trying to enhance that a little bit. But as we study about our temperaments and how we're made, how we're born, how God created us, in all that we are, we have strengths and we have weaknesses according to how God made us. If we just had only strengths, that would be great, wouldn't it? That'd be cool. But we have weaknesses too. So what we need to understand is how God made us, who we are, the gifts, talents, abilities that God blessed us with, and then learn to utilize those for the kingdom of God and enhance the strengths, but be cautious in the weaknesses that we have. So, you know, it's kind of like having a car with four tires. You got to have all of those tires kind of balanced to the same poundage so that they're going to ride smooth. That's how we need to be in our strengths and weaknesses. We don't just need to focus on and concentrate on the strengths in our life. We need to do that. We need to make those manifest and you know, enhance those. But at the same time, if we're not careful, our weaknesses will destroy us. Too many times as Christians, I think we try to balance our life out in a way to where we say, well, if I just continue to do all the things I'm good at, then it will be greater and grander than the things I'm weak at, the areas I'm weak at in my relationship with God, so it'll make me balance out. No, we need to understand our weaknesses can destroy us. They can destroy our testimony. It's not going to take away salvation. If you're saved, you're saved by the blood of Christ. A weakness is not going to take that away. But weaknesses can destroy our relationship with God. And it can really affect our witness, our life, and we can lose a lot of things by not understanding and being considerate of the weaknesses in our life. Stand with me as we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, first five verses. This is Paul talking here, and he's writing his first letter back to the Corinthians after he'd already visited the churches or established and visited the churches in Corinth. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. So before we even go on, understand what Paul is saying about himself. He's not just trying to be meek and mild and wanting them to brag on him. You know, people like that. Oh, I'm not real good, even though you're really good at something, just so you can get folks to brag on you. Paul's not that way. Paul is being sincere. So I didn't come to you with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, that's what we're going to talk about today, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Father, we come to you today and thank you for such a passage of Scripture that we're able to look into the heart of Paul. We're able to see him for who he actually was. He had weaknesses, as we all do. He had fears, as we all do. He had moments in his life, God, that he just knew that if he was going to make it, if he was going to go on, it was going to be by your strength and not by his strength. So, God, thank you for opening up that door and letting us see Paul to be a man as we are and human made of flesh and blood as we are. God, forgive me of my sins and the weaknesses that I have. I would love for you to take those away. But, God, within the weaknesses that I will continue to have, I pray for your strength to be seen and demonstrated through those weaknesses. Forgive us and have your way in every heart this morning as we look at this subject of weakness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. When we think about Paul writing this letter to the Corinthian church, in the book of Acts we have the breakdown, the timeline of when Paul went and saw these different cities, established these churches. It was in his second missionary journey that Paul actually went to Corinth for the first time. Then he revisited later. So Paul went there and established some churches, saw some believers, and then what Paul did in 1 Corinthians is he wrote his first letter back to that church, dealing with and addressing some situations that they had. So when Paul wrote this letter, and we see in five verses of chapter number 2, he's letting them know, when I came to you the first time, I didn't come and set up on a big podium. I didn't come to declare myself as anything special or anybody special. I came with the purpose and intent of one thing and one thing only, and I did it fearfully. I did it, you know, in weakness of my own. I came to just preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in hopes of seeing some people get saved. So Paul identified with us, he has weaknesses too. So in all the weaknesses you and I have, know this, everybody has them. Don't act like we don't, because we do. It literally just makes us human. So what do we need to know about weaknesses that we have in our life? I think one great thing would be is to know that there is help in our weaknesses. There's help in our weaknesses. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 26 says this, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, the Bible says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he suffered a while, maketh you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." There is help. And Paul's letting us know that the Spirit of God, when we believe and trust in Jesus, what happens to us? The Spirit enters, right? The Spirit of God enters into us. We take on a third part of the Trinity of God. He literally moves in. I don't understand it. I don't get how it works, but he moves in and takes a boat in here. You know, he's like, "Scoot over, flesh. I'm coming in." And so the Spirit of God, a portion of the Spirit of God, lives inside of every believer. So he lives inside of me. So all the help I'm ever going to need to battle whatever it is I'm going to battle, to face whatever weakness and fearfulness that I have the presence and power of the Holy Spirit with me, and even when I don't know what I need. Have you ever been praying and just like, "I don't even really know what I need, but I know I need something"? Yeah. You ever prayed and it's like, I have an emptiness, or I have a longing, or I just feel uneasy, I feel unsettled, but you just can't put your finger on it? Or maybe you're in a situation where there are just a lot of things that are weighing you down. Are you in a point in life to where there's a lot of stress on you right now? Just right now, this very moment, there's a lot of stress on you. There's a lot of pressure on you. There's a lot of people maybe that depend on you, expect you to have the answers to things pertaining to their life. People expect you to be able to be sane and in control of your life. But you find that you're weak. When we pray and lift those things up to God, there is help. Now, there's a passage of Scripture over here I want to also read. I believe it's Acts chapter number 16. I think I was looking at it earlier. And here's what happened to Paul as he started his second missionary journey. He had gone about halfway through, and he had a mindset that he wanted to go in a couple of directions. And here's what happened. When they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, why would God prevent Paul from going anywhere to preach the gospel? I would think wherever you're at, is a good place to preach the gospel, wouldn't you? But he said the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, forbid him from going into Asia. And then after they came of Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So two separate times, one following the other, as Paul went from one city and prepared to go to the next city, he had a plan to go here and to go here. Two different occasions, the Spirit came to him and he said, you do not need to go to that place. Don't go to Syria. Don't go to this place. I have a different direction for you to go. Verse number 8 in chapter 16 of Acts says, and they passed by Mysia and came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and he prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So there's help for us in direction of our lives. There's help in every area that God will grant us help. But make note of this, the help is going to be in the direction God calls us to go in. The help's not going to be if Paul had disobeyed the Spirit and decided, well, I'm going to go into Asia anyway. You know what probably would have happened to Paul? And one reason I believe that he said, I don't want you to go into Asia right now, just on his second missionary journey, I think eventually he would have wrapped around from Asia and made his way into Rome, because that was a mindset of Paul. He wanted to always preach the gospel in Rome. When Paul made it to Rome, guess what? That's where he died. God knew that there were other places and other people need to hear the gospel before Paul was taken a prisoner and sent to Rome to be executed there. So I believe God spoke to Paul and he said, there is help for you in your weakness, Paul, but the help is going to be in the direction I send you. My little granddaughter's got a little three-wheeler motor. We call it a motorcycle. It's a motorcycle. One of them little battery jobs, you know. And she's got goggles that she wears now because the wind, you know, going as fast as she goes on that thing. Yeah. The wind just, you know, blows you all over the place. So she's got that little motorcycle and the little pedal wound tight, you know, and she'll say, Poppy, come go with me. So it's not that I'm riding with her because I would destroy the little three-wheeler, but it's that I'm supposed to come and follow behind her as she drives around the house. You know, she's got this circle that she drives around the house. And as we go through to a little hallway, she'll stop and Poppy has to go turn the light on because we're not going to go down the hallway because we're a little bit nervous, a little fearful about going through the dark hallway. And so it's my job to do nothing more than just be there. It's my job to make sure that when we hit a little dark area, to turn the light on. And I thought about that, about my relationship with her, that as long as Poppy is behind her and going with her, and as long as I'm flipping the lights on, she will drive that little motorcycle until the battery is completely dead. That's just how it works. So I think that's kind of how God wants to be with us. He wants us to know He is there and help is there in your life. You know, cry out to the Lord like she cries out to Poppy and just say, God, I need you. I need your help. We got to know that help is here. We got to know that help is available to us. And we've got to choose to believe that help is available. When Elisha was with his servant, and his servant looked out and he saw the enemy that had him surrounded, and he looked and he said, oh, Elisha, what are we going to do? The enemy has us surrounded. How are we going to survive? They're going to come and take you. They're going to kill you. They're going to kill me. And Elisha said, God, open the eyes of my servant that he can see what I see into this spiritual world. And God opened his eyes. We all know what he saw. He saw the chariots of fire of God, the angelic beings on those chariots of fire, that God had a greater army surrounding his enemy. What we got to do is this. We got to get to the point to where we don't have to see the chariots. We got to choose to believe the chariots are there. That's where we got to get. It's not a matter of saying, I'm seeing the help, but we got to believe that the help is there, and we got to believe the help is always going to be found in Jesus Christ. Believing help in your weaknesses is here And that help is through Jesus Christ. The second thought is this, that God sympathizes with our weaknesses. And I put the word sympathizes rather than identifies. Because I'm not going to say God doesn't identify with our weakness, because that would mean God don't really get us, because God created us and he gets us. But God's not able to identify with a weakness as much in the fact that God has no weaknesses. But God is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, and that's wonderful. That means even though God has no weaknesses, God completely understands our weaknesses and is able to sympathize with us. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but note this, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18, this verse is getting important as well. It says, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he, now talking about Christ, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That word succor means this. It means to aid and to relieve. He is able to aid us and to relieve us of the temptation, of the weakness, of the fearfulness that we have. God sympathizes and understands our weaknesses. When you pray, and you pray to God and you say, God, do you really get me? Do you really understand the things that I struggle with? You know what God is always going to be able to say back to you? Absolutely, I understand everything about you. I understand every struggle that you have. I understand every difficulty you have. So how is God able to do that? Well, because Jesus came and God became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, even knowing, think about this, Jesus knowing he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew Lazarus was going to live again. He knew he was going to speak to that body and life was going to come into that body. The spirit was going to come back into that body and Lazarus would walk and talk and live again. Jesus knew that. But when Jesus went to the tomb, what did he do? He wept. Why? Because he understands our pain. Because he understands being human. He understands what it means to not have someone around. He understands what it means to hurt and to be broken, to be rejected and to be condemned. Jesus understands everything about us and he understands all of our weaknesses. He sympathizes with us. The Father, being all powerful and can do whatever God wants to do, had to watch and resist from intervening when his son Jesus died on a cross for our sins. If you know somebody you love is in pain, what do you want to do? You want to relieve the pain. If somebody's hurting and you have the means to prevent them from hurting, what do you want to do? You want to help them. If somebody you love is at the point of death, I know many times we've prayed, oh, I would trade places with them, God, if I could. We would give our life for those that we love. God the Father was able to stop Christ from dying on the cross. Jesus himself was able to stop himself from dying on the cross. But the Son allowed himself to die, and the Father stood and watched. We think God don't understand loss. God completely understands loss. God completely understands our weaknesses. And he sympathizes with the things in our life that cause us to become weak. And God loves us and cares for us. And he is our help. And he wants to continue to be our help. So what about weakness then? God gets it. God sympathizes with us. So where do we go from here? We need to understand that there's purpose in weakness. There is a purpose for the weaknesses that we have in life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And you know, I don't know that I've ever looked up the word Buffett right here. I don't know if I ever have, because I thought, wow, we've always just assumed what Buffett means, to just attack you or to be with you. I looked up the word Buffett, and you know what it means? To rap with the fist. I mean, literally, Paul became a punching bag for the messenger of Satan the rest of his natural life. So this was given to him. God allowed Paul to endure through this hardship of this thorn in the flesh. But there was purpose behind the thorn in the flesh. It's not that God wants to be cruel and cause us to suffer or cause us to be in pain, but God's purpose throughout the thorn in the flesh was what we found in that passage of Scripture, so he would not be lifted up above measure. So he wouldn't allow pride to lift him up to think him better of himself than he actually is. I'm going to throw a dart out here, and I'm going to say that Paul naturally had a problem with pride. God knew that. So what do? You give him a thorn in the flesh so pride is not going to be an issue. You cause Paul, when he goes into the church at Corinth, and he writes a letter to them to say, when I came to you, I came in weakness and I came fearful. I didn't come with eloquent words. I didn't come with great wisdom. I came with just a simple message to preach the gospel. God allowed Paul to be fearful and have weaknesses show when he came to preach the gospel. Why? So he would be more effective in preaching the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. There's purpose in the weaknesses that you have. What is the ultimate goal and what is the ultimate purpose? Is for God to be glorified through your weaknesses. How is God glorified through our weaknesses? Because when we're weak, what do we need to do? We need to look to somebody that's strong. As long as we're dependent on God, then our weaknesses, we're going to find out later, are going to become strengths. It's kind of like me and these little peepers now in my life that's been here for probably 8 or 9 or 10 years. My eyes, I can see you guys fine where you're at. The long range vision seems to be okay, or I think it is. I don't really know. But close up, I have trouble. You know, once you hit 45 to 50 or so, everybody has to don some readers. And so my eyes are weak. When I put these glasses on, I'm able to read all this scratch I've got up here on this paper. So I take the glasses back off. My eyes are still weak. Barring a miracle from God through surgery or however other means he may want to do that one day, my eyes are always going to be weak. So what does it force me to do? It forces me to put my confidence and my trust in these glasses. That's what God desires for us. He may not take the weaknesses you have away, but he will sure be that strength in those weaknesses as we continue to trust in him. Let God be our glasses. Let God be our readers. Let him be the one that I say, well, you know what? This is the area I struggle with in life, whatever it is, or I struggle the most with in life. God, help me to look to you in that area of weakness. I know how we are. I know, and I'm the same way. I pray and I want God to take away the weaknesses in my life. I want him to take away the areas in my life that I struggle with the most. I want him to take them away. Some he will, some he may, and some he will never take away. Hey, that kind of rhymed, didn't it? You can keep that one. That one's free. What he wants us to do is he wants us, in whatever weakness we have, to trust him and to know there is purpose within the weakness, that God accomplishes great things. God was able to put Paul in prison numerous times. What's so wonderful about that? The weakness of being contained in prison brought us the bulk of the New Testament. Joseph suffered from 17, 18 years old to a young man till he was a prisoner in Pharaoh's prison and interpreted dreams and was able to be set free. a lot of years of his life, he suffered. Why? So that he could end up in Pharaoh's court and he could be the salvation of his people. And that the remnant of God, Israel, could survive and the bloodline could continue. Yeah, there's purpose behind our weaknesses. It's not that God wants to point a finger and just laugh at us as much as God wants us to look to him and bring great things out of the weaknesses that we have. So I guess the question, is it okay to pray for God to take away a weakness? Absolutely it is. How many times did Paul pray about his weakness? Maybe that's the magic number, I don't know, but that's how many times Paul prayed. 3 times for God to take the thorn out of his side. And 3 different times God said, I'm not going to take it away, I'm not going to take it away, I'm not going to take it away. You pray until you're content with, I think I've prayed all I'm going to pray, or either I've gotten my answer from God that this thing's not going away. Either it's not going away right now, or it's not going away forever. But in that, something must happen in our life, which brings me to this last thought, which is most important of all. Our position in our weaknesses. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, I've tiptoed all around it. Now let's read it. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That is a great paradox. That makes absolutely no sense. How can I be weak and be strong? Well, I'm not really. And you're not really. But when I am weak, as I put my trust and faith in Christ, he becomes strong in me. See, it's Christ that said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. That's Jesus saying that. For my strength, Jesus is saying, is made perfect in weakness. Not his weakness, but in your weakness. So he's saying, this is the great paradox. You're able to experience great strength in the midst of the weaknesses that you have as we trust in God. It is a condition of the heart and of the mind. It's where we're at. Joshua and Caleb and the other 10 came back from spying the land. They all gave their individual reports about what they saw. Joshua and Caleb were ready to load up the people. Let's pack it all up. Let's hit the road. Let's go in and possess the land God gave us. The other 10 said, no, we're terrified and scared to death. We can't possess it because there are giants living in there. Now here's the thing, and this is what I think is interesting about those 12 spies. All 12, note this, all 12 saw the same thing. All 12 saw the same thing. You ever think of that? All 12 saw the giants. All 12 saw the great cluster of grapes. All 12 saw the land. All 12 rehearsed in their mind the promise of God. I've given you this land. All 12 saw the same thing. But he came back with 2 with 1 report. Let's go, take it. He came back with the other 10 that said, no, we're scared to death to take it. What's the difference? The difference is their position within their weaknesses. That's the difference. The difference in you, success, your success and your failure is your condition, your position within the condition that you have. This is kind of a final thought, I guess. You may not be able to change your weakness or change your condition or change the situation that you're in. That may be outside and beyond your control. But I'll tell you what you can change. You can change your heart and you can change your mind within that situation that you're in. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. God has done and is doing everything he can for you. Jesus already died on the cross for your sins. It's already taken care of. You got to choose to believe it. If you're a believer and you're walking through this world and we're experiencing our weaknesses and we're suffering and all this and that and the other, with the Spirit living inside of us, he's going to be everything you need to succeed. Jesus Christ is. What we got to do is understand I have weaknesses, but understand I got to take those to God. I can't change my circumstances, but I can change my heart and I can change my mind. I have to choose today to say I believe God is stronger than the weaknesses I have in this world. Stand with me as we begin our invitation. Our Father, as we come to you today, it's an area that we don't like to talk about. We don't like to talk about or acknowledge our weaknesses. We don't like to acknowledge that we have areas of our life that we struggle in, but we're all human. We all do. We have them. What's most important, God, is that we acknowledge to you our weaknesses. You said your grace is sufficient for us and your strength will be made perfect in our weakness, but we must bring our weakness to you, God. We must bring our struggles to you. We must lay those things down at your feet and believe you. We don't have to see the chariots of fire. We just need to believe they're there. We need to trust you, God. Help us today in whatever area of our lives that we struggle with. Help us today to believe you and trust you and give it up to you. Give our weaknesses to you. We pray, God, for you to move among us today. Have your way. Stir our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.